Hello and welcome to an emergency edition of the End Zone Podcast. You know, we were going to record Thursday, had some stuff come up. Probably wasn't going to record today. But then Trey, the sports world blew up and we got some big, big news that Tom Brady, the GOAT himself, is retiring. So we had to get on, cover that. Also got to talk about Sean Payton stepping down as head coach, and we'll give some weekend picks and we'll get out of here. We're hoping to keep this a pretty short episode. Mainly just what our remembrances of Tom Brady are, and then a little Sean Payton reaction, and then some picks. And I think that'll do it for the day. Trey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a fine Saturday, you know, but filled with some, I wouldn't call it unexpected since it's been in the whispers for the last couple of weeks, but certainly some breaking news in the NFL world. So yeah, it's a fine Saturday with some breaking news of sorts.
Indeed. Well, let's just get there. Tom Brady, 22 seasons, 82,000 passing yards, 624 touchdowns, 3 MVPs, 7 Super Bowl titles, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, has retired. And now, I mean, the number one question here, Trey, is Tom Brady a Hall of Famer? Let's embrace debate.
Jeez. I mean, if the NFL could, and I promise you, if they could, they would. They'd roll out the red carpet for him to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Forget that the class is already decided for 2022. He would have been inducted right this moment in time, or whenever the Hall of Fame induction ceremony is this year. They'd literally roll a red carpet, get started immediately on that famous bust of his, and they'd add him to the class, you know? Like 100%, I think they would have if they could.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's always the stupid little question we get when people retire is, you know, oh, are they a Hall of Famer, blah, 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 this and that. This is one guy where you can definitively say, yeah, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. The greatest football player of all time. Not making any hot takes by saying that. My big question for you, I guess, Trey, is this. I was thinking about it a little bit. Is he the most accomplished athlete on not just North America, but planet Earth ever? I feel like there's an argument to be made for that. He's certainly the greatest North American athlete of all time.
Yeah, I think you could have a good argument that you can make as Tom Brady being the most decorated and the most accomplished North American athlete of all time. I think the only competition he would have is probably Wayne Gretzky, who has a multitude, and I mean a multitude of records that will probably never be broken in the National Hockey League. So that's the only competition I think Brady would have for the most accomplished and greatest North American athlete. Worldwide, though, I don't think he's the most accomplished, though. I mean, you look over to the football, the European football side of things, you have Messi, who is a, you know, Tom Brady's known around the world, but Messi is literally a global icon. Messi is literally a global Jesus at this point. Same can be said for Cristiano Ronaldo, who, you know, I think Cristiano Ronaldo has a better overall marketing sort of stratosphere surrounding him than Messi. Because Cristiano Ronaldo is so out there with so many different things that he does. I mean, Brady is known around the world, sure. But when you look over to the football side of things, there are a lot more candidates to be made as, you know, the most accomplished, the greatest athlete of all time. I think that's in my opinion.
Well, I guess my counter to that would be, I mean, how many Champions League titles does Messi have? It's like three, yeah, right?
Okay, you can go down and you can bring up the whole.
Nobody. And I mean, nobody in a major sport, soccer, hockey, baseball, NBA,
Eric,
has seven titles.
It doesn't matter, man. Like, it literally doesn't matter.
It does matter.
It does.
Rings are what matter. He has seven of them.
Rings aren't the end all in terms of stacking up resumes between individual athletes.
Okay, sure. You're right. He's not the most famous player in the world, but he's got to be the most famous athlete in North America. Everybody knows who Tom Brady is.
That's fine, sure.
But he is the most accomplished athlete in every major sport.
Okay, I tend to disagree with that.
Messi doesn't have the titles. Ronaldo doesn't have the titles.
Like I said, rings aren't the end all for everything. Messi has over, 680 career goals. I don't even think a handful of players have, maybe a handful of players have.
Tom Brady has 624 career touchdowns, and no one's close to beating him.
Okay, but I'm still saying that Messi has over 680 career goals. Ronaldo has a lot of goals, scoring records. You know, he's won 5 Champions League titles himself, too. I think he's won 6. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and try to just put Brady on this gigantic worldwide pedestal, which, I mean, in a sense,
he is,
but I don't think he's more accomplished than the European football side of things with Messi, Ronaldo, even the greats going back like Pele, Maradona, those type of guys. So
that's an unfair comparison to make, though, because soccer is a different sport. Soccer is a worldwide global event. Everybody, literally every nation in the world plays soccer.
Okay, but if we're going to do that, then if you're going to bring that into the conversation, then you would have to, disband the whole comparison between, North American athletes. Yeah, of course, they're two different sports. But if you want to do that, then on the strict basic level of things, you can't really compare Tom Brady to any other North American athlete, just to be fair.
You definitely can't compare him to any other North American athlete. He is, let's go on a micro level. You are right. There are more famous people in the world. Not everybody in the world knows who Tom Brady is. I would say there's a lot of people that do, but not everyone does to the scale that a guy like Ronaldo's at. But he is by far, on a micro level, the greatest United States athlete ever.
Period. I'm not agreeing with that.
Okay. At least we can agree on that. My favorite tweet of today came from our good friend Greg Rosenthal of the Around the NFL podcast, who tweeted the following. Tom Brady was one of the best quarterbacks of all time when he turned 36 in 2014. Since then, 6 seasons as a top 3 quarterback and 4 more Super Bowl titles. That's crazy. That's crazy, Trey. Moving on from our debate about notoriety, but like his career arc is crazy. The fact that in 2014, before that Seahawks Super Bowl, he was already considered the greatest of all time. He was going for his 5th title. And to just his 4th title at that point, pardon me, to just go out, win that Super Bowl, and then, a lot of players, I think they might have declined at that point, but he gets even better. And I mean, I think you and I both agree he was the best quarterback in the NFL this year, in the regular season. Like, there's just no debate about it. He played his best football this season, I would argue, of his entire career. And he's walking away at 44. And that's the crazy part. Because everyone else, Ben Roethlisberger is retired. Ben sucked this year. Ben fell off. Peyton Manning, he was shot at the end of his career. Eli Manning, shot at the end of his career. Brett Favre, shot at the end of his career. Joe Montana, shot at the end of his career. Tom Brady walks out the best quarterback in the NFL. No one has ever done that. No one has ever walked out on the top of their game And he just did that. He is the most accomplished quarterback ever. And I don't think anyone will ever beat him. For as great as Patrick Mahomes is, and maybe we can both argue that Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen play, but he'll never beat Tom Brady, I don't think. It's just so hard. I don't think any NFL quarterback is ever going to win 7 titles.
No, and you'd have to – the way – of course, Tom Brady is a winner, and all the records and all the wins he's accomplished over the years have been, of course, legendary and probably will never be broken. But just to put it into perspective, Tom Brady had a lot of things, and I mean a lot of things go right, not taking away anything he did during his time. Playing as a quarterback and playing as one of the league's best players. But Tom Brady had an insane amount of things go right. He had Bill Belichick, throughout as his head coach throughout the majority of his career, widely regarded as the best coach of all time in league history in terms of the NFL landscape, and also regarded as one of the more innovative defensive minds in NFL history, bringing such a unique scheme over, from Cleveland, where he had some success there and came over to New England, brought success immediately there and put his name out there and put his name in the record books. But, you had Bill Belichick. Then you had the very elite Patriots defense that they had for years. And I mean for years, maybe starting with Tom Brady's run when he first was announced as a starter, and throughout a good portion of the early to mid part of his career, the Patriots always had a really, really good defense. But just to put the cherry on top, Tom Brady came in and just played like a quarterback we've never seen before. He didn't have a crazy strong arm. He wasn't fast. He was lanky, didn't have some crazy body type. He just knew how to play ball. He knew how to play ball. He knew how to play it at the highest level for a consistent and insane long amount of time. I don't even know his age Tom Brady was when he first, came into the league, when he was first announced as a starter. But from that point to this point in time, it's been over 20 seasons, 22 to be exact, multitude of records, and a good amount of proof to show why he was just such a dominant player, going into the X's and O's and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's one of the more decorated careers we'll ever see in sports, 100%. But there's just so many things you can really say about Tom Brady and how he did so many good things and elite things on the football field that we'd be here for hours. So, but we don't have that amount of time. So, but what an insane career for that guy. Like, what an insane career.
Indeed. Just crazy. I mean, he did it in multiple places too. I mean,
yeah,
he took Bruce Arians and that Bucks team to the Super Bowl and won it. And, to me, less like football now and more less hard news outlook at this moment, and more just a little self-introspection. Like, Tom Brady was like a massive part of growing up and watching football. I mean, we haven't known each other for a ton of time, Trey, but like, I hated, and I mean hated, Tom Brady for the first, few years I watched football. I started watching football around 2012. And those years were the years where Peyton Manning was in Denver and Tom Brady was in New England. And it was always the Patriots and the Broncos for the AFC title game, it seemed. And I hated Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the only player back then. Of course, you're a 13-year-old kid. You do stupid things. I cheered for Tom Brady to tear his ACL on live television every week from the time I was like 13 to the time I was like 17. And he just beat me down, man, into just being this player I so tremendously respect. Like, to me, he is, like, at the end of his career, especially that 2018 season, that final season in New England where they lose the two seed to the Titans in the divisional round. To me, that's one of my favorite Tom Brady years ever, because there was just nothing around him in New England. And the roster had completely broken down offensively. They had no offensive line. They were running out of weapons. Gronk had stepped away at that point. And, like, he willed them to a two seed that year. That's just one of my favorite Tom Brady seasons ever. And I think that year, for me, and the year before, that the year where they lose the Super Bowl to Philly, something changed, like, in me, that I love Tom Brady, and he is just one of the most, personally, the most important, one of the most important football players in my career as a football fan. And it's just crazy to think he's gone now. But I don't know if you feel the same way, Trey. I know there are players that, as young people, like, we hate growing up. That's part of sports, is finding your villains. And he was that for me. But eventually, like, he just stuck around for so long that he just beat me down, and hate turned into just, like, tremendous respect and love. And at the end of his career, I'll just remember I was rooting for the Bucks in that comeback. Like, I wanted the Bucks to win last week. Like, I was rooting so hard to see one last Tom Brady miracle. It's crazy.
Yeah, Tom Brady was everyone's favorite villain for kids that were, you know, had the mind capacity to understand football from, like, 2000 to, like, I would say until now, you know, when he's retiring. He was literally, and NBA, old school NBA fans that watched Michael Jordan in his prime, they can sort of compare that to this as well. When Michael Jordan was in his prime, he was breaking hearts of teams every single night, especially in the playoffs. He broke the Jazz's heart. He broke the Cavs' heart. He broke the Knicks' heart multiple times. I mean, he sent the Knicks home in probably the greatest stretch of their franchise's history. He sent them home multiple times. Didn't even get a title out of that. You compare that to Tom Brady, you know, he's literally spanked the AFC East. He's literally put a leash on the entire AFC East and dominated for over 15 years. The Jets fans literally have PTSD from playing Tom Brady. Bills fans have PTSD. I mean, Dolphins fans too, but I don't think it's on the same level as the Bills and Jets, because Tom Brady, every single time he played the Bills and Jets, Tom Brady literally could not stop terrorizing them. I mean, it was so bad that some Bills and Jets fans were like, and I guarantee some Jets and Bills fans were even considering just dropping the sport entirely because they just couldn't get away from Tom Brady. I mean, and just not aside from the AFC East, the Steelers. Every single time Tom Brady faced off against the Steelers could never beat that guy. Every single time the Colts, when they had Peyton Manning, when they had him, they could barely beat him. I mean, they only beat him once in the playoffs, I believe, and that was an AFC title game, or actually, I believe it was twice, but one of those wins was to send the Colts to the Super Bowl. But aside from that win and that, I believe, the other win that they had in the divisional round, I mean, the Colts just couldn't beat Tom Brady at all. They couldn't beat him. Couldn't beat him. And you could say the same for a lot of the other teams in the AFC. The only year where, you know, before the Patriots roster started falling off a cliff, the only year where Tom Brady legitimately got beaten was that 2015 when the Broncos won the Super Bowl. They beat up Tom Brady. And even then, Tom Brady still had a shot to come back and tie the game with just under a minute left, you know. So it's just been a ride for Tom Brady, just terrorizing, you know, little kids, teenagers, grown men, fans of every NFL team around the league. I mean, he just terrorized them. Didn't stop, and he didn't care. All he cared about was winning, killing teams that he was faced off against, and he did it. So the villain status will definitely be remembered. But as I believe some of us got over, we, you know, found that newfound respect for Brady, the work that he was doing on the field. I mean, the sheer mind capacity and mindset that he had and the will on the field was certainly impressive in itself. So the villain side was certainly memorable and it certainly had its memories, but I think the latter respect part for Brady certainly emerged in recent years. And I could say the same thing for me as well, that that probably probably describes my feelings toward Tom Brady. I hated him growing up, but as I started to, you know, appreciate the things that he was doing on the field, I started to respect his work a ton and who he was as a football player. So I don't think we'll ever get another villain like him ever get in football, because the sheer things, the sheer capacity of things that he did on the field will probably never be approached, let alone toppled. But it's a shame. It's a shame, because villains like that are what makes sports fun at the end of the day.
Yeah. One of the greatest villains to ever play the game. He was fantastic. You know, I could go on forever on this, but I think that to me, there's other NFL news going on, but like we should kind of wrap it up here. We'll touch really quick and maybe give a thought on Sean Payton, but we kind of missed that. We're going to have Ryan back on in the offseason to talk about the Senior Bowl. We're definitely going to dive into the Sean Payton stuff then. We know there's been a lot of coaching news. We're going to do that in February. We'll probably pick a Sunday, me and Trey, where we don't have much homework and sit down and do like a 2-hour show on everything we missed from kind of this offseason period. I've got a Google Doc amassing of stuff to talk about, but I feel like we should just give our dues to Tom Brady. Mentioned Sean Payton is sticking around, is stepping down as Saints coach. That was a big surprise to me. Wow, the NFC South is just going to look really different next year. I think it might devolve into one of the worst, like, worst divisions in football.
Yeah, I mean, who if Tom Brady does indeed retire, who in the world is going to win that division? I mean, the Falcons. I mean, the Saints. The Saints are probably the betting favorite. No, but I wouldn't take too much respect away from the Bucs either. I don't want to put any stock in the Panthers, because Matt Rule and the rest of that team literally makes me want to pound my head into a wall.
Yeah, but you just hired Ben McAdoo as your quote-unquote rock star offensive coaching hire. So
not doing that. But, the NFC South might be a dumpster fire. And it all depends on how the quarterback situations unfold for the presumably top two teams in the division, you know, the Saints and the Bucs. But if those quarterback situations aren't all that appealing by the time week one rolls around, then I would be confident saying that division is going to be a dumpster fire in 2022.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But Sean Payton stuff was surprising. He is the best New Orleans Saints coach ever, if you look at his record. What he meant to the city is pretty incredible. I've been listening to a lot of Ryan's podcasts this week, and you know, he just meant a lot to that city. So much happened in his career as well, but this is not it for him. He said in his press conference that he wants to continue doing football stuff. I think he is going to try the media thing for a little while, and then it wouldn't surprise me if he has kind of a John Gruden career path where he does media for 3 or 4 years and then gets back into coaching. And to me, obviously, the thing that's been rumored for years makes sense. Next year, when the Cowboys inevitably lose in the wild card round, Trey, Jerry's going to fire Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton will be the next Dallas Cowboys head coach. I'd bet several boxes of ice cream sandwiches on that. I am very confident that's how this is going to play out.
You know, I, as much as I just, well, not despise the Cowboys, but as much as the Cowboys as a brand annoys me, and you know how much I just sometimes can't stand it, the whole Sean Payton taking a year off and returning to coach the Cowboys storyline would be quite something. I will admit it would be quite something. And if that you know does indeed happen, we'd have to spend, you know, a multitude of months hearing from Cowboys fans about how they're going back to the Super Bowl once again. So it's a double-edged sword with that, honestly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Ben Roethlisberger retired. One, like, everyone will forget how good Ben was just because he played so terribly after his elbow went 2 years ago. But he was, for a long time, like, put together, like, 4 or 5 consecutive seasons where he was a top five NFL quarterback. Like, he is one of the better quarterbacks to play in this generation, and certainly the best of a 2004 draft class, which is now all retired.
Yeah, and, you know, just to take a step back from Ben Roethlisberger solely, if you take a look at, I believe it was the big three of that draft class, I believe, and if I miss a name, I'm sorry, but that draft class that included Big Ben, Eli Manning, and Phillip Rivers, that's probably one of the more historic and decorated quarterback draft classes of all time, just based on those three or four, if I'm missing a name alone. Because out of that group, you have, let's see, you have 4 rings, right? 4 Super Bowl rings, dozens of records, dozens of statistical accolades, and dozens of years being franchise quarterbacks in a league where seemingly it's somewhat hard to find, or back then it was somewhat hard to find a franchise quarterback. But, you know, I think that tone is sort of relatively changed now. But what an insane draft class that was with Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, those three alone are just – that's 3 Hall of Famers, dozens of – like I said, dozens of records, and just a multitude of years of memories that NFL fans will probably never forget for the rest of their lives.
Indeed. Let's just do conference championship picks really quick. AFC wise, I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately. I know Joe Burrow's been awesome and there's been a lot of hype. And if he wins this game, man, we got to start talking about, hey, is there like the AFC's got their next 3 big guys? Like, as Tom Brady steps away and as Ben Roethlisberger steps away, we've seen it now. This is the new era. This is the new generation. They're all in their primes now. And with Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, if Joe Burrow were ever to win this game, I don't think he will. I think Chris Jones is going to have a field day, but I do think it's going to be close. I'll take the Chiefs 35, the Bengals 31.
Yeah, I'm not picking against the Chiefs here, especially after the display that we saw last weekend when Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times and Zach Taylor seemingly never adjusted his play calling to adjust for the fact that the Bengals' offensive line, and specifically the right side, sucks and can't block air, even if they could. So the Chiefs have a decent pass rush. Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram would line up on that right side a lot. And we saw what he did to Spencer Brown, you know, I believe it was that latter half of the second half. Melvin Ingram literally took Spencer Brown to town. He made that rookie look like a rookie. So I'll take the Chiefs here. I'll say 34 to 20. Let's say that.
All right. This one's been tough for me. NFC, like, I just know the Niners are going to win this game. I just know it. But I just cannot, in good conscience, like, pick Jimmy G. Like, eventually, the breakdown's going to happen. I think it's going to be this point this week. I'm going to look really stupid Sunday when we have the Niners back in the Super Bowl again. But I'm picking the Rams here. I'm going Matthew Stafford. I went back and watched that game last week. It wasn't his fault that they let the Bucs back into it. It was Sean McVay running the football. Like, they need to be aggressive and let Matthew Stafford throw. Like, you gave up all the picks. Like, there is a chance he makes mistakes, but, like, he's on a heater right now. He's played 3 consecutive weeks of really great football. I think he puts together a 4th, and I think Matthew Stafford and the Rams win this game. I'll say 31 to 24.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to entertain the possibility of Jimmy G literally getting carried to another Super Bowl. I mean, the first time the 49ers made the Super Bowl and, you know, I believe it was, what was it, 2019, I believe. Jimmy G literally, and he wasn't all that bad, but that running game carried that man. I mean, carried that man all the way up to the Super Bowl as well. And, you know, we're sort of getting the same sort of mantra this year, but, you know, instead of the running game solely, it's the defense and the running game contributing and literally carrying probably one of the worst quarterbacks to ever, you know, have this sort of ride in the playoffs. I mean, typically with football teams, you know, this stage of the postseason, bad quarterbacks don't usually make it this far. They just don't. Jimmy G has. I don't know what sort of magic he has on his side, and I don't want to see it gift him another opportunity to play in the Super Bowl one more time. So I will go against my brain telling me to pick the 49ers because, I mean, who isn't picking the 49ers this weekend? But I'll take the Rams here. I'll take Matthew Stafford, Odell Beckham Jr., the rest of that offensive staff to return to the Super Bowl by a score of 20, let's say 24 to 20.
All right, Trey. Thanks for jumping in. I know both of us didn't really want to record on a Saturday afternoon, but I feel like we knocked this out pretty quick. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to have Donnie on. Zach's not able to join us tomorrow, but we'll have Donnie on. And we'll record right after the games tomorrow. So it should be up tomorrow night. So go check that out. Go check this out. I'll tweet it out in a little while once I get it up on the website. And then we'll see you tomorrow. NFC, AFC championships. Peace out.